1 minute to 12? Okay, got one more minute. Good morning. The prohibition of ribbis appears in this week's sedra. It's a din d'oraisa. The word ribbis is the same letters as bris. The Avnei Nezer has long kuntris on Hilchos ribbis that he calls brisachim. The Jewish people is like a club, and we're not allowed to charge ribbis to each other because we have a yedidus together. There's ribbis d'oraisa, there's ribbis d'rabban. Ribbis d'oraisa is called ribbis kitzutza. And in order to violate ribbis d'oraisa, you have to have a few conditions. First of all, it has to be derech halvah. If I lend you $100, and you have to pay me back $105 derech halvah, then it's going to be ribbis. You have to make a ktsitze b'shasa halvah. Let's say if I lend you $100, then at the end of the year you pay me back $110. And if I koras atoiv, there never was a ktsitze b'shasa halvah. So that's only ribbis d'rabbanan. That's ribbis sheni ketzutza. So you have to have yosem in akeren, and has to be derech halvah. And the extra money that you give me is because of the hamtanas amos, because of the fact that my $100 was sitting by you for so long. Let's say I lend you $95, then at the end of the year you don't have singles, so you give me $100 bill and you say keep the change. So you didn't give me the extra because of hamtanas amos. That's only going to be there's not going to be an issur ribbis there. Let's say someone is changing money. Let's say someone's changing money. That's a bad example. Let's say I give you $95 Israeli money, and you give me, that's also a bad marshal. Let's say you have singles. So you give me 95 singles, and you want to carry $100 bill. So I give you $100 bill. I'm giving you extra, what, because of the hamtanas amos, because the $95 was sitting by me for half a second. There's no element of hamtanas amos over there. So that won't be an issur ribbis d'oraisa. You gave me $95, I give you back $100. There is no element of hamtanas amos. The Gemara says, kolola derbisa kol aganetale, if you give extra, because of the hamtonas hamas. So this is in order to violate the ribbis d'oraisa. Tosfos has a gemara in Ksubis. There's a whole perek, Azel Neshech, doesn't say a word there. There's a gemara in Ksubis in the fourth perek, where Tosfos claims from the gemara, many Rishonim disagree, but Tosfos claims that you only violate ribbis d'oraisa if you lent him daba hamitalta legufa mamon. Let's say I lent you checks. I'll lend you $100,000 by giving you a lot of checks, and then you pay back, and the agreement is that you have to pay me back at the end of the year $105,000. But everything is done by checks. I lent you the checks, and you pay me back by checks. So there is no, it's a dav hametalta, but it's not gufa mamon. The check just represents the fact that I can draw against your bank account, but I really didn't give you any BN. So Tosfos' opinion is that when everything is done by checks, it's only an issa derabbanan. Many Rishonim, the Rashba, and many other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and in Yeruday it's a question whether we paskin like Tosfos or not. Some Achronim on the side of the page, some Achronim say that their impression is that Rov Rishonim agree with the Bali Tosfos that that will only be Ribbis Derabbanan. It's relevant to know whether you're dealing with Ribbis Deraisa or Ribbis Derabbanan, because the Gemara in the beginning of Izel Neshach has a machlok is between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yechanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar. there was a Tana Rebbe Elazar, but that's not the one over here. This is a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So usually we pass Ganein Halacha Ketalmud B'Makom Harav. Here we pass like Rabbi Elazar. Machlokes says whether Ribbis Kitzutz or Yotze B'Dayanim or not. After having paid the Ribbis, can I go to Bezdin and demand that I want my money back? So we pass like Rabbi Elazar. The Ribbis Kitzutz is Yotze B'Dayanim. But it's only if it's Ribbis Daraisa, it's only Ribbis Darbanan, then it's not Yotze B'Dayan. This din, that the Ribbis Ketzutzo is Yotze B'Dayan, and Rabbi Elazar Shita is based on the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, that says, V'chei Imach. You shouldn't charge Ribbis. Then it says, V'chei Achicha Imach. So Rabbi Elazar interprets, that's accepted Psak. Ahadalei, give him back the money, K'echa D'Nechei Ba'adoch. The Malbe should return the ribbis to the loiva, that he should be able to breathe, he should be able to survive. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam was not the first to write a Sefer HaMitzvos. It wasn't the last. Different opinions, what should be included in the Minyan HaMitzvos, what not. So the Rambam has his list of the 240. Gemara tells us, the Midrashim tells us, 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs loisasay. So the Ramban disagrees with a whole bunch of mitzvah says he deletes 16, 17 mitzvah says, so the Ram has to replace them with different 16, 17. He deletes also about 17 mitzvahs, like says he has to replace them with others. So the Ramban has a list of minyan mitzvahs shehishmet harav, the mitzvahs that the Ramam forgot to count. So the Ramban counts this as one of the Ramach mitzvahs asay, hashavas haribis. Ribbis Ketzutza is a mitzvah to give it back. And the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah. The Rambam counts a lav not to lend by Ribbis, but he didn't mention the mitzvah essay to return the Ribbis. The Megillus Esther comes to defend the Rambam, and he says the reason why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah essay of Yotzeb Dayonim to give back the Ribbis is because it's identical with the mitzvah essay of Beheshe B'Sagzeil HaShegozal, whenever you steal money. So the Torah says there's a lav loy sigzel, and then there's an essay, Beheshem v'sagzela. So this is Beheshem v'sagzela, you have to give it back. This is highly questionable. The Pashto says that it's not correct. That the Pashto says that when I lend you $100 and we make up, then I'm going to charge you 5% interest at the end of the year. You have to pay me back $105. And then you come back and you give me, here's $100 of the Karen, here's the $5 of the Ribbis. So the Pashto says, I'm kind of the Ribbis, but it's not called Gezel. If I steal $5 from you, I'm not kind of. But when you give me back the Ribbis, when the Loibe pays the Ribbis to the Malva, Pashto says that the Malva is kind of the Ribbis. But there's a mitzvah that if you give it back, so it's not really identical with the din of a Heshem v'Sagzeil. This is really a Machloikis and Eben Ezer. Let's say I stole $5 from someone, I'm a Kaddish and Isha with the $5. So the din is Einim B'Kodeshes. Unless a Gezel Dido. Unless I stole a ring from her, and we're engaged, and then I give her back her own ring. So then the Gemara says, and she agrees, she says, okay. I say, I read B'Kodeshes, she says, wonderful. So then the Gemara says, obviously she wants to get married to me because we were engaged, and she accepts it. So then the Gemara says, a whole explanation, why is it good? It's good. But if I get Achrini, if I stole $5 from someone else and I give it to the girl, she's Einim B'Kodeshes, even if we were engaged. So here in Ebenezer, there's a Machlokes HaRishonim. What if I have Ribbis Ketzutza Deraisa? I lent you $100 on the understanding that at the end of the year you're going to give me back $105. You give me back, here's $100 the Karen, here's $5 the Ribbis, and I take the $5, I'm a Kaddish and Isha, with Ribbis Ketzutza Deraisa. So that's a machlokes, the Beishmur, in the commentary on the side of the page in Ebenezer. Beishmur quotes a machlokes of Rishonim, how to read the Gemara in Kiddushin, whether she's Mekudeshes or not. And they say the name Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that he felt like the Ritva was right. The Ritva says that she's Mekudeshes, and he thought that the Ritva's Rai was a Rai Shein Ala Tshuva. The Ritva brings a Rai from the Gemara, that when you charge the Ribbis and the other person pays you the extra $5, you're kainah the $5. It's not gezel that you're not kainah. It's a mitzvah to give it back, but you're kainah. How does he know? Because the Gemara says, l'didei azrachmana lebrei loy azrachmana. This mitzvah of giving back, paying back the Ribbis only applies to the Malva himself. The Malva who lent the money, he collected the Ribbis, he has a mitzvah to give back the Ribbis. Once the Malva dies and the money goes Birusha to his Yorshim, so the Gemara says there is no There is no mitzvah in HaTorah of Hashabbas HaRibis. Sometimes Mishem Kibirav, it'll be recommended that the son, that's a whole sugya and a nesha. Sometimes Mishem Kibirav, it'll be a mitzvah to give back the ribis, but not bitam Hashabbas HaRibis. So if it's really gezel that you're not kohen, so mamish doesn't belong to him. Of course he has to give it back. So Rab Chaim thought that ritvos raya is a raya she'en alel tshuva, that you really are kind of the ribbis. Why are you kind of the ribbis? If I lend you $100, you pay me back the $100, that's the din of halvor. What is machayb you to pay the extra $5? The ribbis kitzutza. So traditionally, it was always assumed that it's midin schiris. Let's say I have an automobile and I rent you the automobile. So you want to use my automobile, I have a right to charge you. I'm a landlord, I own a building, and you want to live in one of the apartments, I have a right to charge your rent. I rent out tuxedos and I charge money. So here, I'm renting out my money. I give you $100. You can use the $100 for a whole year. And because of your right to use the $100, I have the right to charge you midin schiris, like renting out. That's how the Avnineizer, that's usually assumed like that. Rav Baruch Ber, in the Sefer Birchas Shmuel, and Bar Metzia quotes in the name Rav Chaim, that he didn't think that made any sense, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, we pass on halacha, the minute I lend you the money, the minute I give you the $100, the money belongs to you. It's not that you have the right to spend my money. No, the minute I give you the money, money is yours. And it's not mine at all, it's your money. So how can I have the right to charge you for you using your $100? If I rent you an apartment, you're using my apartment. I rent you a tuxedo, you're using my tuxedo. I have a right to charge you because you're using something that belongs to me. But if I lend you $100 and it's understood you're going to spend the money, so the minute I give you the money, it belongs to you. So I have no right to charge you schiris because you're using your own money. So what then is the mechayev of ribis kitzutz? So why do you say you mechayev to pay? And if you lend beribis to a nachri, menatar betz mutter, you lend beribis to a nachri, so the nachri is mechayev to pay you. Why is he mechayev to pay? What's the mechayev to pay? So Baruch Ber quotes in the name Rab Chaim, he doesn't think that what the classical Achrayim assume, that it's Medin Schiris, makes sense. It's not accurate. He thinks that the Mechayiv is Matnamos. There is no such din that if I lend you $1,000, you Mechayiv to pay back $1,000. Matnamos is a Kinyan. When I give you $1,000, see, we usually think if I lend you $1,000 and I say I want back $1,000, that's normal, that's Alvor. I lend you $1,000 and I say you only have to pay back $950, that means I was Michael $50. Really, the lending of $1,000 should really be Mechayiv you to pay back $1,000, but I was Michael. And if I say I lend you $1,000, I want back $1,100, so that's a ribbis. That's a no Mechayiv a ribbis. Our Baruch says, no, that's not pshat. When I give you money, that's called Matan Mois. Matan Mois is a kinyan. I can be kind of karka. Karka is nikta mekesef. I can make a kaddish and isha b'kesef, and I can make a halvor. If I lend you money, I say it's halvor. When I lend you halvor, so if you don't say one way or the other, so by my lending you $1,000, it's understood that you pay back $1,000. If I say I lend you $1,000, you only have to pay back $950. It's not that I only lent you $950 and the other $50 was a matana. No. I gave you $1,000, that was matan mois, and the agreement was that it's only mechayiv you to pay $950. There was no mechila. And if I give you $1,000, and I say you have to pay back $1,100, the matan mois was kind of a shibud on your behalf, on your part, that you have to pay me $1,100. It's the matan mois is kind of. It's not that, you see, it's a difference. The way the classical poskim assumed, every day that you keep the money by you, another day, another day, another day, like if I'm the landlord and I rent out the apartments, every month that you use the apartment, you have to pay me rent for this month, for next month, for the next month, for the next month. So if I lend you money, I lend you $1,000 for a year, so we say, and I say I want back $1,100, so the chiyuv, we usually assume, the chiyuv accumulates. Every month, every day, every month that you use the money some more, so the chiyuv accumulates, you have to pay me more ribbis. So that's why Rav Moshe Feinstein assumed like that, the traditional way. That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein has an issue of Schar Shabbos. If you put your money in a savings account, in a bank, so they give you ribbis, and the ribbis is compounded daily. They may not give you the ribbis daily, but it's calculated daily. So Moshe Feinstein was asked the question, How can you take the ribis that accumulates on Shabbos? Isn't there an isar schar Shabbos? So Moshe says that it's schar Shabbos b'havloah. That since they give you the extra amount for every day that you leave it there, by them every day goes from midnight to midnight. It doesn't go from tzeisa kochom to tzeisa kochom. So the ribis for Erev Shabbos is given from Thursday night to Friday night midnight. So that from 8 o'clock on Friday night till midnight, that's Schar Shabbos, but that's Bahavloa from Thursday night. And then the Schar Shabbos from midnight on Leil Shabbos, Friday night till Matzoi Shabbos, so part of Matzoi Shabbos is Matzoi Shabbos. It's after Shabbos is over. So that ribbis is Bahavloa. So that's why Moshe says it's Bahavloa. What if you have 2 days Yontif? So you have 24 hours in the middle. That Schar Yontif is also. Now Moshe says, no, but Mimonav Shach. Either the first day is Yontif or the second day is Yontif. The first day is Yontif, the second day is Chol. So you don't really have 48 hours in a row. You don't have 2 days in a row. What about 2 days Rosh Hashanah? What if you have Shabbos next to Yontif? They're both Vadai Minatoira. So he says, Anachinami, when you take your money out of the bank, you have to leave behind a certain amount of money that was accumulated because of the fact that you left it there 2 days Rosh Hashanah, the Ziyam HaRichter, and Shabbos next to Yontif. That money you're not allowed to take. Whenever you take that money, you have to leave behind the money. That's what Rav Moshe writes in his Shabbos, because Rav Moshe is working on the assumption that the ribis accumulates, the bank becomes obligated to pay. Every day they become obligated to pay more money, more money, more money. So the money that the bank became obligated to pay because they're using my money on Shabbos, that's called Schar Shabbos. So if it's Bahavlo, it's Mutav, Shaloi Bahavlo, it's Osam. But the Pashtus is, according to Rav Chaim, it's not so. When I put my money in the bank from the very outset, the bank makes up in advance. This Matan Mois, I put in $10,000 in the bank, in the savings account. So when I put the money in, so the bank tells me in advance, the $10,000 that I'm giving them will be Mechayiv the bank to give $10,100 if I leave it for a year. If I leave it 2 years, the Matan Mois was Mechayiv $10,200 or whatever, something like that. It's not that every day it accumulates more and then that's Schar Shabbos. The Matan Mois didn't happen on Shabbos. The Mechayiv was in the Matan Mois from the very beginning, except the bank gives me a whole chart. If I leave the money in so long, then the Matan Mois will be a Mechayiv X amount. If I leave it in longer, the Matan Mois will be a Mechayiv more. But it's not at all that the use on Shabbos. It really has nothing to do with Schar Shabbos. According to the way Rabbi Baruch Ber quotes the name Rabbi Chaim, the whole issue that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote about is irrelevant. It's not really so. Yeah. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to take ribis, neshach, kesef, neshach, rechot, neshach, kol dobra, sheyishach. Doesn't matter what you lend. Let's say sometimes a dentist will lend another dentist a few ounces of silver. They make silver fillings. And he'll lend them, let's say, I lend you 10 ounces of silver, and you have a year to pay it back, and I say you have to pay me back 11 ounces of silver, 10% interest. So that's the Chumash says, Nesher Kesef, Nesher Choychel. Kesef either means silver, Kesef means money, whatever. So for the Mashmos of the Pasuk, the Chavos Das writes in Yeridei Hilchos Ribis, Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva where he adopts this, and Rav Soloveitchik also showed Gemara said this is correct. Then the Iker Adin, if I lend you, let's say, 10 ounces of silver, the Iker Adin you have to pay me back the same thing, 10 ounces of silver. If I lend you 10 bushels of potatoes, the Iker Adin you have to pay back 10 bushels of potatoes. If I lend you cash, the Iker Adin you have to pay me back cash. If you don't have cash, then the Gemara says, "Limori Rashrosach Pari Ephra." If he owes you money and he can't pay the Iker Adin is Zuze Yoiv Zuze Shokel. If he lent me money, I'm mechuyev to pay back the same thing. So that's the mashmos of the pasuk that it says, Lasashach lachicha neshach kesev neshach echel neshach kol dav shishach. Whatever you lend, the Iker Adin is mechuyev to pay back the same type of a thing. So the Gemara says that they prohibited the Mishnayos have towards the end of Perek Hazel Neshach. It's really a self-contained perek. Usually, all the sugis and the gemara are interconnected. Everything that you have, connection between Noshim and Azikin, Shibin Aguf, Shibin Achasim, and Brachas, everything is interconnected. And this Perek Hazeh Neshech stands alone. It really doesn't connect with too many other topics in Shas. That's what Davnei Nezer did in his Kuntres, Bris Achim. He tries to explain a lot of the demon as Al-Neshech based on other Gemaras. And he gives as a mashal, a quote, another sugi, that sheds light on the nature of the demon over here in Ribbis. He was a genius. Davnei Nezer was a genius. So he picked up all of these relationships. But with that, before you learn Davnei Nezer, it's like the Perek is separate, is detached from the rest of Bavli, it's detached from the rest of Shas. Really a separate topic. So one of the dinim towards the end of the Perek is, you're not permitted to lend saw b'saw midirabbanon. I'll lend you 10 bushels of grain, and your understanding is at the end of the year you give me back 10 bushels of grain. If I lend you 10 bushels of grain, and the understanding is you give me back 11 bushels, that's the pasuk, neshech oichel, that's an isa deraisa. But if I lend you 10 bushels, you give back 10 bushels, mikir adin, that's hetagomer, because there is no yosem and akeren. But there's always inflation, and the 10 bushels of grain, listen, I lend you 10 bushels of grain today, the understanding is you give me back, in 10 years you're going to give me back 10 bushels of grain. Whatever it costs today is going to cost more in 10 years. Probably not going to cost less, once in a long while the prices go down. But most of the time all the prices go up. So if I lend you 10 bushels of grain today, and it sells for $1 a bushel, then I'm going to give it back at the end of the year. It's probably going to cost $1.50 in another 5 years. It's going to cost more. So midirabbanon, they prohibited it because it's ribbis midirabbanon, because the bushels of grain have a value and the guy's going to get back more. So they prohibited, you're not allowed to lend saw b'saw. Even if the price doesn't change, you violated an isa by lending saw b'saw. The next neighbors do it all the time. Next neighbor rings my bell and she says she needs a bottle of milk or she needs a dozen eggs. I give her a dozen eggs and the grocery is closed. It's the middle of the night and she's making cookies or something. So then she says, I'll give you back a dozen eggs. So tomorrow she goes to the store, she buys a dozen eggs. So we do it all the time. So that should be also because of saw b'saw. So the Raman Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gaonim, if the difference in price is going to be so inconsequential, a dozen eggs from today till tomorrow, how much is going to go up? It's going to go up two pennies, a nickel. Not going to go up so much. So they never asked midirabbanon if it's such an insignificant amount of money. If they're going to pay me back within a couple of days, so the price not going to change so much. But if I'm lending the other dentist 5 ounces of silver, he's going to give back 5 ounces of silver. So min ha-tarvet hetagomer. It's not yosem min ha-keren. Even if by the time he gives me back the silver, it's going to cost twice as much. Min ha-tarvet, that's hetagomer, because it's not yosem min ha-keren. But midirabbanon, since the silver is everything in the world, the Gemara says divided into two categories, kesef and shove kesef. Gemara says tiva and peira. So tiva means matbea, that's kesef. And shove kesef is peira. Commodities are peiros. So the halacha says that al pidin, money always stays with the same value. A dollar is a dollar. And all the commodities change in value. The truth of the matter is, it's not so. We have 1,000 kashas. How come houses are more expensive now? How come clothing is more expensive? How come svarim are more expensive? How come food is more expensive? How come everything is more expensive? The Torah says, you don't have 1,000. There's one teretz on all the cash. The money is worth less. So the halacha doesn't recognize. That's the reason why the government is printing too many dollars and they made inflation. The value of the money is less. That's the one teretz on all the cash. But the halacha doesn't say that. The halacha says that the money al pidin stays the same and all the commodities changed in the value. So since I lent you I lent you 5 ounces of silver and you're going to give me back next year 5 ounces of silver, so on a level of the Raisa, that's not called Yosem and Akeren. The Heta Gomer, there's no problem. But with the Rabbanon, since the silver is Shove Kesef, it's Peire, so then the value, the Halacha says the value changes. So with the Rabbanon, we say that there's an Issa Ribis. You weren't allowed to sell, you weren't allowed to lend the saw of the saw. Because it could well be that the price will change. Then you'll be in violation of Ribbis Derabon. it's important to know what's Ribbis Deraisa, what's the Ribbis Darbonon. Ribbis Deraisa is Yotze B'Dayanim. Ribbis Darbonon is any Yotze B'Dayanim. Tosfos has two opinions regarding Ribbis Darbonon. Would you say that before Lotzes Yedei Shamayim, you should give it back or not? So that's two opinions in Tosfos in the beginning of Perkei Zeh Neshach. We pass on the Shulchan Aruch that yes, that before Lotzes Yedei Shamayim, you are supposed to give it back. That is based on that Gemara that we pass on before Lotzes Yedei Shamayim. Have an obligation to give back even Ribbis Derabbanan. So therefore, Rashi and Tosfos hold two opinions in Tosfos, big machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos are of the opinion that Tfisa would help. Let's say if you owe me money and you're not paying the money, you owe me $100 and you're not paying, and I grabbed the $100, so you go to a Din Torah. So Bezim will say, but you owed him the money. So it wasn't right on my part that I grabbed the $100 from you. Should have gone to Bezim, and Bezim will force you to pay. But if I grabbed it, you owe me $100, so of course Tfisa helps. What if you only owe me the money on the level of Bolotzes Yedei Shamayim, and I grabbed it from you, and you say you're not a holy tzaddik, you're not interested in being Yotze Yedei Shamayim. Whatever Bezin won't force you to pay, you don't want to pay. So will Tfisa help? So that's a machlokes HaRishayim. So Rashi and two opinions and Tosfos. Rashi's opinion is that whenever there's a chiyuv of Bolotzes Yedei Shamayim, then Tfisa would help. So that's assumed in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz wrote the commentary that's called Crazy Placey on Chelek Aleph Yeridayim. So over the years, they keep on, if you go to Prague, you find they keep on discovering more and more manuscripts from Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, from Talmidim who wrote over things that he wrote. So they keep on printing more. So someone found part of the manuscript of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz on Hilchas Ribbis, so it's printed in the big Yeridei. It's called Placei Hamada. So you have things from the Crazy Placei of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, and then you have comments added on by this person, I forgot his name, not a famous name, who added on his comments. So in the Placei Hamada, in the end of Hilchas Ribbis, he has something very interesting. There are four levels of Ribbis. The first level is Ribbis Kitzutza Deraisa. Then the three levels are Ribbis Derabbanan. So the first level of Ribbis Derabbanan is Ribbis Sheina Kitzutza. I lend you $100 at the end of the year. You give me back the $100 and you say, thank you so much. You did such a taiva. This saved me and I became a multimillionaire because of the halvos out of Hakaras HaTaiva. You give me extra. So that's Ribbis Sheina Kitzutza. I never made up in advance. When I lent you the money, I never said I want you to pay me extra. So that's Ribbis Sheina Kitzutza. What happens if at the end of the year you pay me the $100 and then when it comes my birthday, then you give me a matana? So that's Ribbis Sheina Kitzutza, but you pay me the extra, not Bishas, that's Ribbis Meucheres. You don't pay the extra amount at the same time that you're paying the Keren. You don't pay Keren and Ribbis. Or let's say there's Ribbis Mugdemis and Ribbis Meucheres. Ribbis Mugdemis is like this. I want to butter you up, so you'll be friendly with me, and you'll lend me the money. This happened to me. So a guy comes and he gives me a matana, shmura matzah. He gives me a matana, er Pesach, he gives me shmura matzah. Matana, he likes me. And then he comes to Chol HaMoed and he says he'd like to borrow $1,000. I'd like to borrow $10,000. So he buttered me up in advance. So that's called Ribbis Mugdemis. He gave me something in advance in order that I should lend him the money. So Ribbis Mugdemis or Ribbis Mucheris, I lend you $1,000, you pay back $1,000, no extra, then when it comes 6 months later, my birthday, or my wedding anniversary, or whatever, on some occasion, Yontif, you come and you give me matana. So Tosfos points out, there is no such din, that whenever I lend you money, you're not allowed to be friendly with me anymore. You always gave me matanas. We were always friendly. You always sent me shalach manas. You always gave me matanas on my birthday, on my wedding anniversary, so you can permit it to continue doing it. But if you never did these taivas to me, and it's obvious that the only reason why you're giving a matana after the piroin of the keren is because of the fact that I lent you the halvoa, so then it's called Ribbis Mocher. So the Ramah quotes a Ramban, the Ribbis Mugdemah, the Ramban and the Mochamas, on the bottom of the page of the Rif, and Perek HaZeh Neshach, Ribbis Mugdemah, Ribbis Mocher, is only Ribbis Darbonon, but it's lower, it's a lower level. It's not Ribbis Sheina Kitzutza. It's considered mechzik ribis. It looks it's like a marisai. Mechzik ribis. It looks like ribis, but it really isn't. Really isn't ribis. So afilu bebalotz is deshmai, you're not mechayif to give it back. Then this place hamada from Rabbi Yonis and Ebeshitz points out that the Rambam has a fourth category. It could be that there's no Rishon who holds their four categories. Could be that the Rambam squeezes everything into three categories and the Ramban squeezes everything into three different categories. But in Shulchan Aruch, there's a possibility of, logically, there's another category, Haramas Ribis. Haramas Ribis, the Rambam holds, I set up a system where I'm going to get extra, but strictly speaking, there's Mamish, there is no Yosim and Akeren at all. So the Gemara has an example. So the Rambam says in that case, Haramas Ribis also to set it up, but once you set it up, it's mutter to collect the money. So the Gemara has the following situation. You come to me, you'd like to borrow $1,000. I start looking around. I have no checkbook, I have no cash. Oh, but I have a lot of svarim. I'll tell you what, I'll lend you $1,000 worth of svarim, and you owe me $1,000. Fine. And you owe me $1,000. You can go sell the svarim, you'll make money. And then I turn around and I say, ooh, I just found I have $950, so you don't want to spend 2 weeks selling all of my svarim. It's going to take you a long time, so I'll tell you what, I'll buy the $1,000 worth of svarim back for $950. So you're happy? Sure, you sell it, you don't want to waste all the time. So bottom line, what happened? I lent you $950 and you're mechayiv to pay me back $1,000 because I did this spin. I sold you $1,000 worth of svarim, or I lent you, either I sold, I lent, doesn't make a difference, $1,000 worth of svarim. And then I buy it back for $950, so you don't have to waste all that time. So that's, the Gemara says that's also, that's Haramas Ribis. He did a shtick, Haramas Ribis. So the Rambam learns Haramas Ribis is also to set it up like that. But once you set it up, it's even permissible to collect the full $1,000 later on. Because strictly speaking, there is no ribbis at all. There is no ribbis. He just made a shtick. When you look at it from the outside, what he did was, he succeeded in lending him $950 and make him a chayiv to pay me $1,000 without violating ribbis at all. So that's Rama. That's not allowed. So other Rishonim, the Rambam Mishnah quotes that the Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam holds that it's awesome to collect it. That it's not just an Issa HaRama to set it up, it's an Issa to collect it as well. Some people think, some people have like that. Let's say, I'll lend you $100,000 and you're going to pay me interest. So you're not allowed to lend beribis. So I'll give $100,000 to buy a shutfis and you live in a home. Your home is worth $500,000. So I'll buy one-fifth of your home for $100,000. And then at the end of the year, when you want to pay me back the money, so I'll say, I only want to sell you back your one-fifth of the home that you sold me. I want to charge more money for it, because that 20% of the home belongs to me. So the value of real estate goes up. It appreciates. So I'm going to charge you more. So at the end of the day, he charged him ribbis, but he made it with a shtick. He was selling him 20% of his home, and then he bought it back after the year for more. So that would also be a case of Haramas Ribis. That would, for sure, it's us to set it up. And according to the Rambam, once he set it up, he can collect it. And Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with that. So that's where the Plesi Amara has. There are four different categories. There's Ribis Kitzutza, that's awesome in our Torah. It's only if you have all the conditions. Derech Halva. Not all the Rishonim agree. The Ritva disagrees. But we don't pass like that Ritva. It's only Derech Halva. And then, let's say if I'm selling automobiles, I'm selling whatever, televisions. So I say, if you pay me now, the automobile costs $45,000, fancy automobile. And if you're going to pay on installment, then it's going to cost $47,000. So if I tell you in advance, the correct price now is when I deliver the car right now, is $45,000. And if you're going to pay in stages later, it's going to be an extra $2,000. So that's ribis derabbanan. That's not ribis deraisa because it wasn't derech halvah. Minatar, it's only also if it's derech halvah. The Ritva disagrees with that. He thinks that will be an Issa ribis deraisa, but we don't accept his opinion. So it's important to know what's ribis deraisa, what's ribis derabbanan. Number one, Ribbis Dereis is Yotze B'Dayanim. Ribbis Dabanan is not Yotze B'Dayanim. And number two, there is a question, is it Tzedaka organization? Let's say Yeshiva University is a non-profit institution. They're always losing money. Okay. It's a non-profit institution, so that, let's say, people bequeath to the Yeshiva. There are people in the world who are dying. Every day someone's dying who never died before. And they leave a Yerusha for the Yeshiva. So they write in their will, this money is for Yeshiva. They should lend it out to the students at the same low interest rate that the government lends out money. So the government lends out money to student loans. So the governors are goyish government, so they have a right to charge 2% interest, whatever. The bank will charge you much more, so the government is doing you a taiva. What a lot of students do is they borrow the money from the government and they don't need it, so they put it in the bank. So they make more interest. Now it's not so. But they make more interest in the bank than they have to pay to the government. So if you borrow money from the government, a student loan that you didn't really need, so you can make money on the deal. So the government charges very low interest rates. So people leave, Jewish people, they don't realize that the yeshiva is a Jewish institution. So people leave at Tzavah, they want to leave $1 million to Yeshiva University, they should lend it out to the students at the same low interest rate that the government charges for the student loans. So they used to lend out the money to Goyim, who go to the graduate schools, Einstein. So you can't lend it out to the Jews, because a Jewish organization lending to Jews. So if it's Ribister, so the Rashbo has a suffix, Rabbi Kiveger and Yeredei, he quotes the Chubas, the Rashbo has a suffix, is there an Isser for a Jewish institution at Shabbo? It's not a person. It's a university, it's not a Jew, it's not a non-Jew, it's not a human being, but it's an institution. Is there an Isser for a Jewish stock organization to charge Ribis Deraisa? So the Rashba's Mesupik, maybe it's Mutter. But in Shulchan Aruch they don't discuss that, they assume that that's Osir. Ribis Deraisa is Osir for a Jewish institution to charge. But Ribis Derabanan says that it's Mutter. Anything that's Ribis Derabanan is Mutter. So many Achrayim hold, when Yeshiva lends the money to the students, so sometimes they'll give them a check, and they'll expect the student to pay back by check. So if everything is done by check, so then many poskim say that Rov HaRishayim hold like Taisus, that a check is Ein Guf HaMamis, so the Holy Zerib is only the Rabbanan. So that would be Mutter. That would be Mutter. A lot of times the Yeshiva will not give the money over to the student. They just, the student loan is that the tuition here is whatever, $48,000, telephone numbers, $48,000 tuition. So they'll allow you to attend the school, and they won't charge you. They're not lending you anything. They're just putting down on your account that they're lending you money, so you don't have to pay the $48,000 now. You'll pay it in another couple of years. So because you're postponing the payment, so therefore, for your education, so therefore they're charging you the interest. So then for sure it's only Ribbis Derabanan. Even if you hold not like the Taisus. Taisus came up with the Chiddush that it's only Ribbis Deraisa if you lend the Dov HaMital to Beguf HaMama. If the loan is done by check and the payment of the carrying with the Ribbis, everything is done by check, the same Guf HaMama said Taisus holds that the whole Isa Ribbis Derabanan. So that's a machlokes, whether we pass him like that. Some Achrayim say that Rov HaRishonim hold like that, and that should be the Din. But even if you hold not so, but if the Yeshiva does make out a check to lend you the money, Yeshiva just says you owe us $48,000 for your tuition, and we're lending you money. You don't have to pay the tuition this year. Pay it after you graduate college and you have a job. Then you like government loans. You pay it in the future, and we're going to charge you a very low interest rate. So they never made a halvor. They never lent you money. It's just that you owe the yeshiva money for schiris. You owe them money because they're providing you with the services. They're giving you classes, lectures. And then because you're not paying on time, you're paying 2 years after you get a job. So then they're going to charge you more. So that's the tip. If you pay on installments, we charge more money. So that the Gemara said, that's only Ribbis Derabanan. That's for sure not Ribbis Derais. So it's Tzedak organization, a non-profit organization, is permitted to take Ribbis Derabanan. That's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. The Ritva disagrees with that also. He thinks that only certain kinds of there are different levels of Ribbis Derabanan. So the Ritva thinks that only some levels are mutter, but the accepted opinion is all Ribbis Derabanan is mutter for tzedakah organization.
Not more dafka tzedakah organization versus any other organization, but not It would be the same svara that it's not person. Why would it make a difference?
Menat Torah, if it's an institution, so there's no ribbis. But if it's a Jewish institution, like Yeshiva University, or like the Jewish Agency. Jewish Agency, if you want to go on Aliyah, so they used to have a deal that they'll pay for your shipping of all of your stuff there at Israel. It's a loan, and if you decide to move back to America within the first 5 years, then you have to pay back the loan with interest. But if you stay in Eretz for 5 years and then you decide to go back to America, then you don't have to pay. So that's a question. Jewish Agency is a non-profit organization. Money is not pocketed by anybody. It's also like a stock organization. So that's the question. If it's a ribbis, they're lending me money. They're lending me money because they're laying out money for shipping on my things there at Cicero. Lending me money, and they say in advance that they're going to charge interest. So that's if it would be a case of ribbis deraisa, it would be aser for the Jewish organization. It's only ribbis darabanan, then it's mutar. So that's a shaila. That's called that case happens to be tzadechad beribbis. Tzadechad beribbis is machlokes hatanoim and bar metzia and a mishnah and erichin. Tzadechad beribbis means like this: if you move back within 5 years, it's a loan, and you have to pay back the halvoa keren with ribbis. And if you live in Eretz Yisrael for 5 years and then you decide to move back to Chutz Laaretz, then it's a gift, then it's not a loan. So it's only halvoa with ribbis, it's halvoa ala tanai. Tzarecha means whenever you make a tanai, there's a hen and there's a lav. If you move back to America within 5 years, it's a loan, and I'm charging, and the Jewish agency is charging interest. If you don't move back within 5 years, then it's a matana, then it's not a loan. So that's called tzarecha v'ribbis. So one tana holds that it's mutter. Had the gomer, it's mutter. And we pass him that it's also, but that's the question. Tzarech b'ribbis ad anisa deraisa anisa derabbanim. So the Sfasemis has a harifis dikish tikoter in his sefer. Sfasemis an erchin has, he thinks that it's only derabbanim. He holds that tzarech b'ribbis because it's not called ktsitsa. He holds that only called ribbis ktsitsa if it's betoris vadai. Clear cut, I lend you $1,000 and I want back $1,100. But if it's maybe yes, maybe no, it's only on tzarecha ala tanai. So the Svasemis and Erchan thinks that it's only, he interprets the Gemara like that, that it'll only be ribbis derabbanan. But we pass on that, that's awesome. Yeah, what are some examples of ribbis derabbanan? There are a lot of different examples. A lot of times someone wants to print a book. Someone's going to print a tour, fancy tour. So there's a pre-publication price and a post-publication price. Because the guy who wants to print the tour needs a lot of cash, has to lay out a lot of money. Has to get somebody to touch up all the mistakes and set the type and bind it and so on, print it and bind it. So he says, whoever pays now, I'm going to print the tour, I'm going to print the shas, I'm going to print the Encyclopedia Talmudit. And I say, whoever pays me now in advance, it's so much, the price is so much. Whoever waits till it's going to be printed, we're going to charge more. So Minat Torah, what's wrong? He's giving me a break because I'm paying in advance. So Min Derabbanan, you're not allowed to do that because since the book wasn't printed yet, the book wasn't even written yet. So the guy's going to do research, he's going to print the book. The book wasn't even written yet. So the Gemara says, we consider Min Derabbanan as if, let's say, the pre-publication price is $35. The post-publication price is $50. If you wait till after it's printed, it costs $50. And if you pay in advance, it's going to be $35. So with the Rabbanan, we consider it as if the $35 is a halvoa. And then later on, he pays me $50 because he gives me the post-publication price is $50. So the true value of the set of books is $50. So you're not allowed to do that. That's considered ribbis the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it depends how many pu'ulas are missing. If it's mechusa shtayim, if it's only mechusa two pu'ulas, then it's considered as if he's already selling him the book. If it's mechusa shalosh pu'ulas or more, he didn't do the research yet. He didn't write the book yet. He didn't set the type. He didn't print it. He didn't bind it. It's mechusa much more than three pu'ulas. So then we consider it as if the one who pays in advance, the $35 paid in advance, is a halvoa, and then he's going to give me $50 worth of books, because the value that he's going to have after it's printed is $50. So that's ribbis midirabbanan. I remember there was Mr. High Besson was a big bald stock. He used to give money all over in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Ottawa. Every yeshiva and every university in Eretz Yisrael has a Besson Rotunda and a Besson Beis Medrash and everything. Besson gave all over. So his son Beryl Besson learned in yeshiva, and his son married the granddaughter of Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog's father-in-law, Rav Herzog's father-in-law, put out a whole bunch of svarim. What's it called? No. Or Hayasha. Or Hayasha, Nachon. Or Hayasha. And his daughter, the daughter of this Rabbi Hillman, his name is Hillman, the daughter was married to Rabbi Herzog, the chief Rabbi Herzog, so she used to give out free copies to people, because she had old copies of it, and she would encourage them they should reprint it, and they can keep all the Rebbe for themselves. So I got a whole set for her, and she wanted me to reprint it. I was afraid to lay out so much money. Who says that the people are going to be interested in buying it? It's Mar Mekaymus on all of Shas. Mar Mekaymus. It appears in 6 volumes. It used to be on 25 volumes. Each volume was a tall, thin volume. Now it's in 6 fat volumes, short volumes, smaller, shorter than this. So finally, this Besson became a mechutin of hers, because Beryl Besson, High Besson's son, married the granddaughter of Rav Herzog. So Mr. Besson could afford it, so he was going to print it. So he used to come into New York every so often. He was friendly with everybody, all the rabbis. Passed away a long time ago. So he was going to advertise like that. There's going to be a pre-publication price and a post-publication price. If you pay now in advance, it'll be so much. Pay later, it'll cost more. So he told me not allowed to do that. So he said, what do you mean? We do that all the time. And business people do it all the time. So I explained to him. So he said, Rib is the Rabban. So okay, that's the din. So he published this svarim. So it says in the first volume, it says inside, it's mamash offset from the old edition that was printed years ago. So it says, edited by Rabbi Herschel Schechter. So I said, what do you mean edited? I didn't lift a finger, has nothing. Everything in mamash offset. He said, what's the matter? You're embarrassed to be connected with the Rabbanos of Russia, of Eretz Yisrael? Because Rav Hillman was the father-in-law of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not embarrassed, but I didn't do anything. He says, no. I saved him from violating the Yisaribus, the Rabbanon. He was a religious man. He said he was going to charge. He was going to advertise a pre-publication price and a post-publication price. He didn't realize that that's us, Rabbanon. And if I caress a toif to me that I saved him for violating Yisaribus, the Rabbanon, so he wanted to put my name in the book as if I had something to do. I had very little to do with it. You have this a lot of times. Let's say you go to a dentist and the dentist says you need root canal work. It's going to be 8 sessions. It's going to cost $6,000. If you pay up front, I'll charge you, it's going to take a couple of months. If you pay up front, it'll be $5,500. And if you pay at the end, then it'll be $6,000. So it says, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed, if you pay in advance, he didn't do any work yet. If he already started some work today, or he checked me out, and I owe him money for today's visit, and then he says he needs 8 more sessions and I'm going to do the root canal work, so I already owe him some money. So then there's no issue to receive him with the Rabban, because I owe him some money. I owe him schiris poil him. But if I don't, so far I don't owe him anything. He just looked at me and he says he'll do the root canal work, and I know him. I owe him nothing now. So then if I pay the $5,500 in advance, he's going to give me $6,000 worth of work. So that's ribis de Rabban. Same thing you have it a lot of times in camps. So sometimes it's a Camp Aguda, or a camp that's Camp Rei Akiva or something. So it's sponsored by a tzedakah organization. And sometimes the money is pocketed privately. It's a private person. The more money he makes, the richer he's going to be at the end of the summer. So if they say whoever registers their children in April, May, we're going to give them a discount. And now they give you nothing. They don't do anything now. And whoever waits till the end of June, that's going to be a bigger charge, a bigger fee. So right now, you're not paying for anything. So if you pay in advance in order to get a discount, so with the Rabban, we consider it as if you did a halvah to the person, and then later on, he gives you services that are worth more, because the camp, the price that you pay, if you come the last minute, that's the correct price. How much the service is worth is $3,000 for the camp. you pay in advance, they'll give you for $2,500. So that discount means that they're paying you more because you made a havana in advance.
What if he's doing things to prepare for the camp? Is that called that he started the work on you? He's buying the equipment?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Let's say if you rent, a lot of times people go to, they rent a bungalow in the summer. So the balabas of the bungalow colony says, in the beginning of September, by Labor Day, everyone's going home. They say, if you want to rent it for next year, if you want to rent it now, it'll be $5,000. If you wait till next summer, it'll be, if you wake up after April, next year, then it'll be $6,000. So if he lets me leave my things there over the winter, so then I began my rental now. I'm leaving things in the bungalow now. So then it's like the dentist already began some of the work. So then there's no Isaribis Darabonim. But if I don't leave, he rents it out in the winter to the skiers. He rents it out to someone. I don't leave my things there. And I'm not mechuyev of anything now. I'm not using it at all. Then there will be an Isaribis Darabonim. Yeah?
If they gave out some sort of a tachka or something before the payment, they gave out, let's say, a bag or something to the people who were applying to camp before they... Would that solve any of the issues?
Okay. They got to do something. They have to do something in order to avoid the Ribbis Darabonim. Yeah. Unless it's a tzedakah organization, so then all Ribbis Darabonim is mutter for the tzedakah organization.
A camp is different than a school. I mean, the camp is different than a school in that way. It's different than, let's say, the camp would be different than YU with regards to if it's considered a corporation, a tzedakah organization or whatever.
It depends. Is it a Bnei Akiva camp? Is it a Aguda camp? Then it's a stock organization. But a lot of camps are privately owned, and the more money they earn, so the more money they put in their pocket. So then if it's privately owned, then it's not a stock organization. Then the Ribbis Darabonim applies. Then you have the dinim of Ribbis Darabonim. The dinim of Ribbis are very, most of the Ribbis that we deal with is Ribbis Darabonim. You don't have so often Ribbis Daraisim. And so the tons and tons of halachas, you got to go through all the dinim. Okay? Tov.
If that is when the business made this deal with you, or when you pay it, he can make the deal with you from the very beginning. If you pay earlier, it'll be cheaper. He didn't do any work yet. But you could pay it 3 months later also. He just doesn't want it at the end of the year. By then, he already did the work. Because by the time you pay?
Yeah, it depends at the time that you pay, yeah.
Not when he made the deal.
I think so. Tomorrow we're going
to
talk about Kriya Satoru.
Wanting a little clip. We got a clip of me just for a few minutes?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Maybe another question. Some people sell apartments before they begin building the building.
Yes.
You're selling it at pre-building price.
Whoever pays in advance is selling it for less. Yeah.
So that's the thing with the Rabbanim.
That's a problem.
And if you sell to goyim?
That is muta. Is in Ribbis Daraisa is muta.
And who over a Ribbis
Daraisa? Everybody's, by Ribbis Daraisa, everybody in your uncle is over. The Malda, the Baiva, the Aiden, the Orez. By Ribbis Darabanan, we assume only the Malva is over. And the other people are only a violation of Lifnei Iver. So sometimes you can avoid, sometimes there is no Lifnei Iver.
And also I heard that there is a problem of lending eggs, because when you're going to pay you back the egg, maybe the egg is bigger. The egg is...
Uh-huh. A dozen bigger. Eggs.
I lend one egg. The egg my neighbor is giving back, it's bigger.
Yeah, I don't think so. How much is it going to be worth? Some mushroom? That's what the Rama says. If it's an insignificant amount, then you don't have to worry about service.
Also, my neighbors, if they're not makbid, like particularly, like they
basically give
try
it
to
back.
Keep they basically try to keep things. Like if you give me some eggs, then I'll try to do it. But they're not makbid. Mm-hmm. Would that make a difference as far as?
Yeah, it may be that the guys are not going to give anything back. I have in mind lachat kiddush. It's a matana. If you give me back an egg, I'll be happy.
But
just give back the egg is also good.
Can that be like an implicit? Is that an implicit?
Depends how friendly
they are. I would learn very quickly and suck it in. And I think that I would read an underground, and I would meet him in the dust. So that's where that communication is from. Okay, but we didn't get together. So I would not push them going to Seder because they don't like to ask it. So I was in Seder, I was getting bored and fall asleep. I sleep for an hour or two. Like consistent ones. I grew up with them and where I should have five things. But
it make a difference.
Figure out what that person you want to be here for. I want to be here. I want to be here, but I really want to be here.
And I think it's, that's the problem. I want to be here because it's
Don't worry about who's here.